So the title of my message today is Make an Impact. Make an Impact. So like I said, I usually share this testimony to show how planting a seed can make a huge impact in somebody's life. And I'm not discounting that. She planted a seed and it made a huge impact. I'm a pastor now. My brother's actually a pastor as well, and the entire family is serving the Lord in one way or another. So she planted that seed, and it made an impact. But this morning, I was finalizing the message. I know I'm a little procrastinator, but I did have a rough night, and a lot happened. But I'm here right now, and the Lord gave me this morning, and he told me, let's look at this from a different perspective. Why did she have these Bible studies with us? Why did she hold these Bible studies with us? One, because she absolutely loved us and she wanted to make sure that we were going to heaven as well. Two, because she was being obedient. She was being obedient, okay? And then also because she believed in the message. I think when the Lord told me that, I was like, whoa. When we believe in something, we share it, right? How many of you have seen an awesome movie? And you go the next day and tell your coworkers about it. I mean, I think everybody here, we binge on Netflix and then we go tell our friends, we got to see this show or we got to see this movie. Or you go to a restaurant, you eat at an awesome taco restaurant, or you've had the best taco ever, Taco Sunday. Thank you guys for sharing that. You have the best taco ever and you tell somebody about that. You want that person to know where they can get some really good food. You share it. You find an amazing church like Freedom. And what do? You go and share it. You go and share it. You tell people, you tell your neighbors about Freedom. It's our human nature. We just love to share what we like, right? How often do we share what we don't like? Very rarely. I mean, sometimes we do if we're really upset. I mean, sometimes we do, but more often than not, we're sharing what we do like because we want other people to experience that as well. And that's what she was doing. She was sharing the gospel with us because she believed in the message, and she wanted us to experience that as well. You believe in something, you share it. It occurred to me that my aunt was a disciple of Christ who was discipling her nephews. She was a disciple of Christ who was discipling her nephews. Well, my first interaction with the Word of God was with a disciple. And that's pretty cool. She was really the first one to open up the Bible and teach it to us. I can't say I was starting my relationship right there, right after she shared it with us. I think I was 10. I came to really form my relationship with Christ when I was about 18, after I met my wife, my then girlfriend. And from there is kind of where it just started to get a whole lot better. But she planted that seed. Like, I wonder what would happen if she never did that. I don't know where we would be. But she planted that seed. So I think last year, maybe a few years ago, I gave a message on being a Christian and being a disciple. And I said, the Lord has been working on me on this. But I said, you can be a Christian, but not be a disciple. Do you guys remember that, anybody? Probably not. I didn't until I looked it back up. Well, thank you. You can be a Christian, but not be a disciple. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to change that up on you. But the Lord was telling me today and last night that no, you cannot be a Christian and not be a disciple. They are one and the same. Okay? Like I said, I used to think that being a Christian, that you could be one instead of the other, that you can be a Christian but not be a disciple. Now I'm beginning to see that you cannot be one or the other. If you're a Christian, you are a disciple. Now let me kind of qualify this. You're called to be a disciple. So if you call yourself a Christian, if you've given your life to Christ, then you are called to be a disciple. Okay. Interestingly enough, the term Christian first appears in the book of Acts. Okay, where the disciples were first referred to as Christians. It only is used two other times in the Bible. So the word Christian only appears three times in the word. However, the word disciple in the noun form occurs 260 times in Scripture. And at least 230 of those were in the Gospels. The remaining 28 were in Acts. So being a disciple is a huge part of your life. If you call yourself a Christian, you are a disciple of Christ. Now, being a disciple is a way of life. Okay? It's not a Sunday thing. I told you it was going to get a little rocky. It's not a Sunday thing, and it's not a Wednesday thing. It's not, I'm going to be a Christian because I'm going to church today. Okay, it's not, I'm going to be a Christian because I'm hanging around a bunch of other Christians. No, being a disciple is an everyday, every minute, every second thing. You can't turn it off. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. Okay, you cannot turn that off. We live in unfortunately, Western culture where it is actually applauded to kind of turn that off sometimes, you know, and to kind of be your own thing, be your own person, be who you say you are. That's not the way it is, okay? You cannot turn off being a disciple of Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean? A disciple of Christ is somebody who abides in his word. John 8:31, he says to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are my disciple. So I ask you today, do you hold to the teachings of Christ? I got one. Do you hold to the teachings of Christ? Okay. Then you're his disciple. To hold, I want to go a little deeper into this word, to hold. It means to, it comes from the Greek word meno or meno. I don't know how to say it. M-E-N with the line above the O, whatever that is. I don't know. It means to abide. It means to continue. So let me put these words in that scripture. If you abide to my teaching, you are really my disciple. If you continue with my teachings, you are really my disciples. If you dwell in my teaching, you are really my disciple. If you endure in my teaching, you are really my disciple. A few more. If you are present in my teaching, you are really my disciple. If you remain in my teaching, you are really my disciple. And last one, if you stand in my teaching, you are really my disciple. Like every single one of those words has its own special significance. They all mean something completely different. And that is quite a lot to say. There's a lot of things that you need to do there to be the disciple of Christ, right? Abide, dwell, continue, endure, be present, remain, stand. All those things. And I think most of you are doing that from my relationship with you guys. I think all of you here are doing every single one of those things. So I applaud you. I thank you guys for standing and abiding in Jesus, in his teachings. A disciple of Christ loves others. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So even your worst enemy, you gotta love them. Even that coworker that annoys you, that has a potty mouth, you gotta love them. You have to love everybody. You have to love others. A disciple of Christ must put Jesus before anything else. Luke 14:26. If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. That is deep. If you want to be my disciple, you must, but key phrase here, by comparison, hate everyone else. Like, I'm just telling you to love everybody, right? And then I'm giving you this, hate everybody else. No, by comparison, it means you have to put Jesus first. You have to love him above anybody and everyone in your life. I've got to love Jesus more than I love my wife. I've got to love Jesus more than, well, I love my wife most, before my kids. Oh, sorry, guys. I've got to love Jesus before I love anybody. Okay? That's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Can you do that? Like, can you really love Jesus more than you love the most important person in your life? I think you can. I think you can. I didn't finish that verse. You must hate everyone else, your mother, your father, your wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Let's take it a little deeper, God. Why not? You've got to love God, then you love your own life. You have to give your life to Christ. Okay, you've got to give everything up, no matter what it is. Just give it up and give it to Christ. That's how much you got to love Jesus. And then he goes on to say, otherwise you cannot be my disciple. That is a tough calling right there. Otherwise you cannot be my disciple. Are you guys ready to take that on? Now think about it. Like that's really important. You got to really examine yourself. Can you really do that? Are you ready to do that? Because otherwise you can't be his disciple. A disciple of Christ continually reflects Jesus' character, his love, and his teachings. I think this is the one we get wrong a lot. John 13:15. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. So, continually reflect Jesus in your life. Guys, you are an example. You are a walking, living, breathing example of Jesus Christ. There is somebody watching you all the time. If you do something that is against the word of God, if you do something that is against Jesus, that person is seeing you. And that person is thinking that it's okay to do that. Okay? So everywhere you go, you have to reflect Jesus Christ. You have to be an example of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses growing up, and I'm still going to use it because I'm still young, is 1 Timothy 4:12. Do not let anyone look down upon you because you are young, but be an example. Be an example. Be an example in faith, in love, in purity. And one other one. I'll get it to you later. But be an example, all right? Everywhere you go. That means in your work. I know it can be hard if you're working with people that are of this world and, you know, we step into that environment and maybe we tend to kind of be of this world also because we want to be like them. We want to be with the cool crowd. Be an example. Be an example to them because you can be the one that changes their life. We had a guy growing up in high school, in my senior year, junior and senior year. This guy was a great guy. He hung out with everybody. He hung out with the jocks. He was a very popular guy. And in my school, I went to public school. But this guy stood out. He stood out because he was an example of Christ. Everything he did at the young age of 16, 17, 18, reflected Jesus. And I'm 20 years later, I'm still talking about this guy. I mean, that tells you something, right? 20 years later, I'm still talking about this guy because of his character, because he loved Jesus so much that he wanted to be an example. He wanted people to see what it's like to be a Christian. And I remember one time going to a youth group after a football game, a church would hold a fun night, and they would give a small message, and then we can go out and play arcade games and stuff like that. So we went over there on a Friday night, and what do you know? I see him, and he is doing a skit reflecting Jesus. It's like, wow, I want to be like that guy. And at that time, I really didn't even have a relationship with Christ yet, but I was like, that is how I want to be. He doesn't sway. As a disciple, you can't be a Christian today and tomorrow you go into work and you're not a Christian anymore. You know, what comes out of your mouth should be the same thing that comes out of your mouth here. Okay. What you do today should be the same thing that you do tomorrow. Praise God. Worship Him. Share Him. Now, that's what you should be doing all the time. It doesn't matter where you are at. A disciple of Christ continually reflects Jesus' character, His love, and His teachings. All right. Number two, you're making an impact. Now, I say this gently. Is your impact towards Christ or away from Christ? Because you're making an impact. Which way are you going to go with it? Matthew 5, 14 through 16, in the Passion says this. Your lives light up the world. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it is placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that your commendable works will shine as light upon them. And they will give their praises to your Father in heaven. I actually should have gone with the previous point. But it works here because you're making an impact. You know, what you are doing outside of church, what you're doing in church, is impacting the kingdom of God. All right? So if you are constantly reflecting Jesus Christ, if you're doing everything that He is telling you, if you are in the Word, if you're praying, and people are actually seeing this, and you are making a positive impact for the kingdom of God, if you leave today and you become of this world tomorrow, then you are making a negative impact for the kingdom of God. Told you it was going to get rocky, getting real. So I ask you, what kind of an impact are you making? Like, think about it. What kind of an impact are you making? Is the impact you're making to advance the kingdom of God? That's what we're all called to do, right? All called to make disciples, right? So how many people have you shared the gospel with? How have you served Christ? How have you served the church? How do you act outside of the church, outside of these four walls? How do you act? Is your impact advancing the kingdom of God? Please say you love me. All right. These are tough questions that I've had to ask myself too. So I'm right there with you guys. I want to make sure that everything that I do is to glorify God. And I want to make sure that people see that so in turn they can glorify God. And then it's just a chain reaction after that. The more people we get glorifying God, the bigger the kingdom becomes. There you go. Look at that. I like that. See that? So just make sure wherever you're at, you're glorifying God in everything that you do. Okay? Your impact needs to be for Christ. If you call yourself a Christian, you need to be impacting the kingdom of God positively. You need to be doing things that are going to bring people into the kingdom of God, not away from the kingdom of God. So watch what you say, watch what you do, behave outside of here, and just be an example. Hey, there are people out there that are desperate for a change in their life. There's so many people out there that are just waiting for that glimpse of what they don't know, but what we know what it is. They're just waiting for Jesus. And if we're not giving them that light, if we're not being that example, they may never get that opportunity to experience Jesus. So when you leave here today, leave here with what you received. Leave here the same person today. Tomorrow, be the same person. And don't just make this a once a week or a twice a week thing. This is a way of life. Living for Christ is a way of life. Okay? I love talking about it with the youth, but what you watch on TV, what you listen to. Think about it. How does that impact your life? How does that impact your life? So imagine what it's doing to everybody else that doesn't know Jesus. So watch what you watch. Watch what you listen to. Some people here may come out with, you know, changing their entire song list. What do you call that? Playlist, sorry. Gosh, I feel so. Some of you may just have to delete your entire playlist. We've actually had some youth that have had to do that in past assaults. They left assault wanting to erase their entire playlist because they realized that they weren't putting good things in their ears. They weren't living for Christ. So some of you might have to do that. Some of you might have to change what Netflix is, you know, posting for you, like all the rated R movies or something, you know, what they're giving you. So some of you might have to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Live for Christ. You guys are all making an impact. I know everybody here is making an impact towards Christ. So it may not, this may go in one ear and not the other, but if you're not, or maybe you're new here, maybe this is your first time here, your second time here, maybe you haven't received Christ, but you hear this today and you're like, hey, I need to do something. I need to change. Okay? Make an impact. Make a positive impact. Now I want to talk about some impacts that we're doing here in Freedom. This is where it gets good. Freedom's impact. This is some of the things we are doing currently, some of the things that we've done and ongoing. But you all are part of this church, so I wanted to share some of these things to excite you guys, because we're doing some really big things in Freedom. The first one, no specific order, no particular order, but FBC. We have Freedom Bible College, which we've talked about. It's starting up again on Tuesday. Freedom Bible College, I actually graduated from Freedom Bible College, first graduating class. We've had a total of 16 graduates in the, Joey, how many years? A lot. Okay. 16 graduates in the 8 years that we've had FBC. We have 7 people graduating this year. And then there are 15 to 20 currently enrolled students in FBC. They're making an impact. Each and every one of these students are making an impact. Okay. One of my favorite things, assault. We have our assault youth camp, which is coming up in July. We have seen lives change in assault. For those of you that don't know what it is, I'm not going to get into details, but this is what I like to call an extreme youth camp, a Bible study, and we do a lot of fun and adventurous things. But the last 2 nights, we have what we call the upper room, and that is by far the best experience that you can ask any of our youth that they have had in assault. And we have seen people receive their prayer language. We have seen people healed. We have seen lives changed in assault. The third one is VBS. Every year we do a VBS. That's another way Freedom is impacting. We have our youth that actually serve in VBS along with many, many adults. And everybody that serves in VBS, from setting up to teaching and doing snacks and all that, they are making an impact. That just puts a smile on my face, because they're all making an impact in these little guys' face. All right? These kids come in there, and yeah, they're expecting fun, and it is a whole lot of fun. I don't think there's any VBS like ours. But then they get zapped, and you see these kids with God sightings, telling them how they experienced God and what they saw today, and they're all appreciating each other and just sharing their testimonies. It is one of the most amazing things that you can hear and see. So VBS is impacting Freedom, is impacting the kingdom of God. We have mission trips. And with mission trips, I want to say that we have built 4 homes in 6 homes and funded 2, right? We've built 4 homes in other countries, and we've funded 2 more. So we've built a total of 6 homes. With the mission trips that we take. We also do other mission trips. We don't just build homes, but we do go out and evangelize and minister to other places. Pastor Eric right now is on a mission trip, as you know. We have countless amount of people that have been healed. We've had countless people that have been saved. So we're impacting the kingdom of God by doing mission trips. And with that, we have the Freedom Run, which is actually funding the home build. So every year we do the Freedom Run, the Race Against Poverty, and with that money, we're able to fund the build of a house in one of these countries. We got the possible church plan in Kenya. That's a big one. And then lastly, we have something new coming up, FCA, Fellowship Christian Academy, Freedom Christian Academy. This is our school for our Angie, what's it called? Hybrid school, there you go. This is our hybrid school that we're going to be starting up next year. So be praying for that and ask the Lord how you can help out. Almost there. Number four, how can we impact more lives? Colossians 3:23 says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. And that's pretty straightforward. Work willingly at whatever you do, as if you were working for the Lord. Everything that you do, make sure that you're doing it for the Lord. Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, who's his disciples? Thank you. I have given all authority on heaven and on earth to his disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. That's our heart in Freedom, making disciples. Making disciples, that is our heart. And then he goes on to say, I am with you always. Isn't that encouraging? I am with you always, even to the end of age. He's always with you. So every step that you take in your process of making disciples, God is there. He is directing you. He is with you always. How about this one? Invite someone to church. There, I know there seems to be a little stigma about churches talking about growth, as in bringing new members, new partners. But we want more people to encounter Jesus. I think the enemy has given us that idea, like, we can't talk about this. Because it's not right to talk about other people coming into your church. I don't know, that's something that I've had to deal with. But don't you want more people to encounter Jesus? Yeah? We want to be able to reach other families in our city. And we want to disciple more people deeply. Invite somebody to church. It could be as simple as that. Hey, I go to this awesome church. You want to come? It's very simple. Or maybe you can dive a little deeper, go into more depth about it. But invite people to church. It's okay. I give you permission to invite people to Freedom. I want to see every one of these seats filled. And I don't want to see it filled because of a numbers game. I want to see it filled because that means there's one more person that's coming, entering the kingdom of God. That's what I want to see. I want to see overflow. I want to see a new building. So much so that we have to purchase a new building. Which is going to happen, right? The Great Commission commands us to make disciples. The book of Acts repeatedly notes that the Lord added to their number. And then Paul planted churches strategically in many cities. He invited people. So if he does it, I think we're supposed to do it too. Again, family, I don't want us to grow because we say we have X amount of partners. That's not what it's about. I want us to grow so we can share what we have in Freedom with those that are in need of the truth. There's so many people, like I said earlier, that are in need of the truth. I know that through Christ, there have been many, many people healed here. Okay? We've seen them. Not just physical healings. We've seen spiritual healings, emotional healings. We've seen them. Okay, God is working in Freedom. Freedom is not stagnant. Like, God is here. God is doing things in Freedom. Bring people here so they can experience what God is doing in Freedom. I know that there were, I know those that were lost whom have found their Savior because they heard a Sunday sermon at Freedom. I know because sometimes I look, I'm not going to lie. When pastor gives that call for salvation, I see the hands go up. We have countless people that have given their life to Jesus because of what they heard in Freedom. And those people, most of them, didn't just happen to come through that door. Most of them were invited. So don't stop inviting. Your invitation could be their saving grace. In fact, we have one family that brought several kids, several students here, And what, two or three of them have received salvation this last year. It's amazing. God is doing stuff. I know students whose life, entire life has changed. Their entire trajectory has changed because they encountered God at Assault at our youth camp. And I'm going to share a story with you shortly. God is doing something. Let's bring people in so they can experience it, right? And if this is your first time here, maybe you were invited, but I want you to know that you're not here by accident. You're not a number. You're not a number here at Freedom. We know you by name. I have a hard time remembering names, but I'll get it. We know you by name. You're not a project, and you are deeply loved by God. So I say, whether you've been here for 20 years or whether you've been here for 20 minutes, God is inviting you into something bigger than yourself, right? Can you guys agree with that? Amen. In closing, I'm going to share this testimony from one of the youth that came to Assault back in 2016. This was really, really, really touching to me. Okay, I actually asked him because I knew his life. I somewhat know him. He's a friend of the family. And I know how God has changed his life. So I asked him to give me a testimony. And I'll probably get emotional when I read it, but it affected me because his testimony is not what I was expecting. I wanted him to give a testimony about Assault and how, well, you'll see. But it really rocked my world. And just to qualify it, he's going to say several things about myself and my wife in this testimony and how we impacted his life. I'm not reading this to lift me up, okay? That's not what it's about. But here we go. It took me some time, but I think just about after graduating high school, I had realized that camp, Assault, was one of the many ways that God himself was reaching out to me. I looked back and noticed patterns of him engineering scenarios where I'd be in a godly environment to get a glimpse of what my future would look like and what I need to do to get there. This is a standing ovation to you, sir, because seeing what your household was like and how you are as a man is the real impact that the mind, heart, and soul of a little kid who had no real masculine godly figure to look at for some kind of guidance, that's what changed everything. Sure, I had seen other men that lived in the light, but they didn't personally interact with me. They didn't literally pick me up to take me to church, none of that. But you did, sir. So let me just qualify what he's saying, give you some background. We picked him up, myself and my wife, we picked him up and brought him to Assault every single day for that week that we had the camp. He lived in our area, again, a friend of the family. And my wife felt called that he would be sponsored by Freedom. My wife felt a specific call for him. And when he heard that call, again, this kid did not grow up in church. He did not have a relationship with Christ. But when he heard that, that actually touched him. And he felt like, yes, this is something I should do. So he says, he goes on to say, fast forward to today, and now I have a God-fearing wife. I have the peaceful home, I have the light of the Lord, and I try to spread it to others when I can, wherever I can, but my big one is more personal. But it's dying to my flesh and killing my old selfish ways so that I can provide for my wife, to make sure that all of her worries are acknowledged and handled, and to make sure that if anything happens, we are okay. It's not anything spectacular like building a whole church in another state, but it's honest labor. I have to be the Christ figure for our families and try to show them the way as much as I can, especially to my nieces and nephews. It's important for them to see the kind of marriage I saw with you and Christina, but also to the women in my family who want husbands for themselves. I also preach to the family on both my side and my wife's side when possible, because I really need for them to know who God is and how to get to his side when their race is over. Isn't that incredible? all because he came to a camp, a youth camp. That changed the entire trajectory of his life. And I would have never, honestly, I would have never known that. That was 10 years ago when he came to that camp. So he's 26, 27 now. And I just heard about this last year. We did not stay in touch. He moved on with his life and actually moved, to Orlando. But I heard about this last year, and I was like, wow. And God really, really did a work in his life, because I knew where he was going. You know, you kind of have that idea of what you see in his life and the trajectory that you believe he may be going in. But God really changed that course for him, all because he came to a camp, right? So think about the impact that you can have on somebody's life. That little thing, just simply by inviting them to freedom, you can change the entire trajectory of somebody's life. Just do the invitation and let God do everything else. So that's kind of my call to action, guys. Invite somebody. I want to see these seats filled. Not for the numbers. Not a numbers game here. But I want to see them filled because it means we're one step closer to having somebody else in the kingdom of God. So, guys, I thank you. I hope that was a little bit of motivating. I hope I got the excitement out of you, right? I told you it was going to be a little hilly, like the roller coaster I went on yesterday. But I actually struggled putting this word together for many, many reasons, because it's hard for me to talk about. I think it's hard for anybody to really talk about growth. The Lord kind of put it in a way where I think it can be received in a warm way. But my whole goal is to get you guys excited with what is happening here at Freedom. You saw some of those things that we're doing. You guys are all a part of this. It's not just myself. It's not just Pastor Eric. It's not the leadership that is making this happen. We're very, very small. We could not do any of this without you guys. So continue to make that difference. Continue to sponsor and give and invite. Do all those things because you're making a difference in the kingdom of God. Amen.